This is Robin Youngs interviewing for the Dialect and Heritage Project on the 25th of October 2022. Can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm Edwin Tully. I was born in Mendelsham Green, near the chapel, 1922, 8th October. And I went to Mendelsham School at Mendelsham Street. Used to walk every day. And I think the first week I went, I threw Edie hat over the hedge. I speak you know where it is. Down there, it's just near the, what they call the watering.
Yes, I know, yes.
Yeah, forget the pipe farm.
Down the bottom, yep.
And because her father, old Billy, and he's sort of, what should I say, most of all, a sheriff at Mendelsham Green.
Yes.
He ran the show. Mm. And old Arthur Mayfield was headmaster at Mendelsham Street School, where I went and my mother and father went.
Ah.
He teached my mother and father, and he teached me, well, he was the head teacher there, till I was 12 years, when I was 12 years old. And anyhow, I left school 1936, Christmas, and before then I used to go Saturdays and do work and that, and I used to go to Freddie at Bay's Farm, Earl Steiner. That's about 6 or 7 miles from Mendelsham Green.
So you were 14 when you left school, Eddie?
14 then, yeah.
Yep.
And I tell you what, that was a lean time, Robin. The farmers were having a lean time and the wages were poor. A flat week was 47 hours. Hell of a long week, you know.
Yes.
You worked all Saturdays, up as 12 Saturdays, about 5 ordinary days. And then I used to go back after dinner. When I first left school, I looked after chickens for Freddie. And he'd got, well, he got thousands on them. Yeah, and I took their Saturdays, and twice on a Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And I think I finished up about 14 shillings a week.
Yes.
And I know I used to give my mother 7 sixpence. And I used to put, I can never make it how we done, but I used to put half a crown on in the Building Society.
Yes.
That was Eastern Campus Building Society then. And that one at the Stone Market, that had absolute Ipswich.
Yes.
And Uncle Reg, you remember the buses?
Yes.
He used to have a little box in the front of his bus, and he took several people's building society money to put in.
Yes.
Once a month, 10 shillings once a month.
Yes.
And when I'd got 10 shillings, you had something out to say, you'd got something, you know.
Okay, a receipt of some kind.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as I say, that was a lean old time from then until the war came. And that old thing, because farmers, they couldn't sell their corn very well. They used to have feeding stuffs come in from China and that.
Yes.
And right cheap, and that's what they fed the animals on. And as an old meal used to come in, and all sorts of sizes sacks, what they was in, some tall and thin and some short and thick, and some of them got holes. And this meal, whatever that was given to all animals, and that used to, with the horse, that used to stick round the nostrils.
Yeah.
When they finished eating, they used to, the tongue would come out and they'd keep licking these in there.
Yes.
Anyhow,
when
the war came, of course there was a shortage suddenly of our feed stuffs and everything. And they weren't combines in that then. And I knew of anyway. And that was all done with self-binder. And well, I missed a bit out too earlier on in that, when I was 12, there was two binders in Mendelsham. One is at Mansham Hall, and one is at Old Harriet, where the lorries were, you know. That was a George's father.
Yes.
He had a little land there, and he had one, and he used to hire this binder out.
So what was a binder then? What
at a McCormick. That took about four and a half foot, I think.
And what did it actually do, the binder?
Well, it cut the corn. All we done was 2 fields of wheat, and cut it and tied it up in sheaves, and then you had to go along and what they call putting in shocks, or stooks, some of them call it. Mm. You'd put about 8 sheaves and stand them up. I think they had the knots of the string was in them on the inside of the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And the water, if it rained, you'd say the water runned off, man.
Yes.
And my cousin Percy, he's 4 years older than me, he rid on the binder, and I had 3 horses on it,
mm-hmm.
two on a long pole mm-hmm. with a leather strap round the neck,
mm-hmm.
and that's what took the weight mm-hmm. of the binder, that long pole of from here to that wall easy, if mm-hmm. not more than that. Mm-hmm. And we cut 2 fields for my grandfather. And I remember those New End of rabbits mm-hmm. and children, boys, that would come with great sticks, you know, just for their friends. There'd be a little bit, because there'd be a lot come out. Mm-hmm. They'd try to keep in as long as they could.
But, so then did you make haystacks with the... Did you make haystacks with the...
Made haystacks, that's loose.
Mm.
They cut grass loose, and, I mean, they weren't silage at that time of day.
Mm.
Nowadays there's silage, ain't there? That took a place of...
Mm.
That took a place of hay, you see. I mean, you've got to have good weather to do hazel.
Mm.
I mean, they cut it, and then they used to cut it and keep turning it with forks and all sorts.
Mm.
And when the war came, everybody wanted what they call the engine. Chapels had 4 turnouts at Earl Starnham. They had a steam engine on each one, had 3 barrels and an old Clayton.
Mm.
And the Clayton was, well, it's a lovely engine, a lot of brass on it.
Mm.
And they had different places they had to go to, you see. They done an area all around Stowmarket.
So these were like traction engines, were they?
Yeah, thrashing.
Yes.
Thrashing drum.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, it'd be a steam engine, and the driver just look after that. And Saturdays they didn't used to do anything. They used to go and clean it out and... the driver used to do all the tubes inside each Saturday morning.
Mm.
And the ordinary mornings, they used to get to work at 7. Well, the horsemen on the farm used to go and do it. They used to keep farming and they'd put some more coal on it. Steam coal.
Yes.
They'd get old bits.
Mm.
Well, he would, and then they'd be on the back of the engine, and then they'd break them up, you know. And I've got to keep the certain temperature, don't you? And if they get too much steam, they had to blow steam over.
Mm.
But if they don't get enough, because the engine wouldn't go hard enough.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Well, everybody wanted the engine at once, because they had so none, you see, the farmers. And Charles Starnham, they belonged to him, and he was a sort of religious chapelman. And I think he was quite religious too, you know. And he say, I had to tell people lies, he said, and said, I wish I'd be there so-and-so. He say, I knew darn well we shouldn't be.
Yes.
He say, but... I don't think there's no harm in a business lie.
I think that's right. Can you remember anything from your school?
From school?
Yes.
Yeah. I went to school when we started in 5. We used to walk from Mansham Green to Mansham Village. You know where the old school is, don't you? Next, the Mid-Suffolk Railway School.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Well, they used to call that little old mid of packed fields.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, well, we walked past it recently.
And, of course, and I think at one time, down near Lower, there's a road used to go up at a tan office.
Yes.
And there's some gates there. And I used to be a chap at Mountain, a little tiny chap, Les Forster. What he used to do was open and shut them gates just for the... when the train, Mid-Suffolk, went through.
Ah, for the railway, yes.
And I remember dinner times that train had always been in going towards Stradbrook and had to stop, so the engine was right on where the lines went over the road. And, of course, we used to come out play times.
Yes.
And I suppose you used to get out there and I used to throw halfpennies. Halfpennies out the engine, we used to scramble for them. I think I'd written 19 miles of that track.
It was called the Midi, wasn't it?
Yep, it went from Hawley, and I was the first one to go through Gippin. You could time your watch by, about 10 to 9, and I'd go as far as Hawley, and most of them on there was children for the school at St Margaret, high school.
Yes.
And then about 20 past 10, there used to be a goods one come. Both of them had brake bands on the back, up their brakes, you see. Mm. And the goods, there was a siding at Gippin that held about 7 trucks, I think.
Yes.
Belonged to the Baker family.
Yes.
And I've carted sugar beet and put that levered on there. Mm. And of course, when the Mid-Suffolk line closed, I think that's 52.
Yes.
And that Saturday, there's more people went on it. The two carriages were chock-a-block full. And
yes.
I remember seeing it coming along and a wreath on the front of the engine. Mm. And that was the last one they done. But then they started pulling it up further end. And they had an engine on. And every day, the bit they pulled up, they carted away.
Yes.
The rails and that, you see. And... of course, the land used to belong to farmers, and in most cases, the farmers have bought the land back. And I know at Ed and Baker's Gippin, there's a fair bit there, and they left it stakes with 4 or 5 rows of wire each side. And of course, they'd been in there for years, and iron stakes, and when you just get hold on, they broke off left with the green ones. And of course, when they went to cultivate this ground, they hit a lot of them bits. They'd in the ground 2 or 3 foot, you see.
Yes.
And they'd do some of your.
Yes, yes.
But you asked me about going to school. Mm. Well, I remember, I told you about, I don't want to repeat myself either, but Chuck Needyard and Hathaway. I felt used to come round from his room, and I was in the infant's class. And as a glass partition, you could see him coming. And he'd come every morning. He never said a word. He'd just back me. I had to go out, and he'd put your hand up out. And I had to cane every day, every morning for a fortnight.
Really?
Mm. I would never tell mother and father, though.
No, no.
But I remember, I think I was about 12 when he retired.
Yes.
And a man by the name of Arthur, he was... headmaster there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but of course that's all closed now when they go to the community centre for schooling, don't they?
There's a school opposite the old one in Mendesham.
Yes, right.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We used to, at a football pitch here.
Yes.
And so forth, we used to play other teams from Backton and Wethersfield and all like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they used to come to Mendesham. And, because I missed going in the forces. I mean, count my age and where I worked, but when I was 18, I took more everybody what was 20, no matter what you'd done, you had to go in, like it's conscription.
Yes.
Well, when I got 20, they stopped doing that and they went on to 18s.
Okay.
And that's how I missed it.
Yes.
But there's some Mansham Green, what you knew, I'm sure. Hockley Brandish.
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to ask you.
Amy Sheldrick?
Yes, yes.
You remember him?
No, not really, but I certainly the name is familiar.
Eh?
I know the name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Russell worked for George Towie.
Okay, yes.
In the shop, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a go. And I think he sort of cooked. I don't know whether he went much further than there, really. But I was told later on, after a year or two after the war, that a chap from Stowe Auckland went, and he used to... we used to go in on the Thursday morning after war in the UDC chapel at Ipswich Street.
Yes.
Stowmarket.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Have a coffee or something.
Yeah.
And he used to always come speak to me. He worked at OCO. And he said, we all had to go to Barry, what was called in that area. He said, Ramey, he crowed all night.
Yes.
He said, nobody, I never told nobody else one of you. He said, but I tried to come, but he said, but you've caught, he said, he's really heartbroken to leave on.
Really? Yeah, yeah. That's interesting, isn't
but
it?
But he got injured in the arm. Mm. So he was sort of, he got one arm a little short than the other.
Ah,
and
okay.
I think that was done by German troops somewhere. Mm. And that's a sort of a village. And our people, they beat them, but there's one or two of them hung back and they got in the trees and that.
Yes.
Mm. And they took pot shots at them if they seen anybody walking about, you see.
Yes.
Well, they shot him in the arm.
Yeah.
Some of them, he said, they shot in the hands. Mm. But they never shot to kill, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see. Yeah, just to injure.
Yeah.
Yes. You mentioned looking after chickens when you were...
Hey?
You mentioned looking after chickens
when
you were young. Did you look after other animals at all?
Oh, yeah. Most farms had all sorts of animals on them, different days now. I mean, little farms, they used to have house cows. And, but they, I know my grandfather's, I had three house cows, and I remember, and they one had a whiten, and that's really an easy milk. And that had horns what grew it toward the ears.
Oh, yes.
And that had to have the end of the horn cut off. Mm. And had a whiten and a red poll, a sort of a browning, and that's a Suffolk breed, and a black and white. And I know harvest time, I used to help at Cakes Farm, you know, where the buses, you remember the buses being there, don't you?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember the buses being at Cakes Farm?
That's on the road between Mendlesham and Mendlesham.
Brother Regent Sid had a deal on it.
Yes, yes. Which then became Braybrooks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and they had buses there and they sort of accommodated some of the buildings and that. And my father and his brother Bob worked on the farm, down the farm. And
yes, of course. Yes.
I was going to say, Dad was in the Home Guard.
Eh?
You were in the Home Guard, weren't you? I'm sure you've got
I was
some...
in the Home Guard.
Oh, right. Well,
and then that was funny. That was the LDV when that first started. And there was some voluntary, you see.
Yes.
They had a few volunteered for, well, quite a few. And then they made it compulsory, everybody a certain age.
Yes.
And 17 of us went to what they call the old school. At Mountsbatch, right opposite Big Peter's Butcher Shop, do you remember that?
Yes.
At Mountain Village?
Yes.
And we went there, and that's where they were in. And Archie got a police pub down at Mountain Street.
Yep.
And he was Sergeant Major, and he got a wooden leg because he's in the wars.
Yes.
And there was a range in a deal that morning, and Archie, Sergeant Major, he's sort of in charge. And as Jim, he was Sergeant, and Henry was, I put his second in command, and Jim was right now, bloke. He's just like that old boy in the real home guy, the real dad's army.
Yes.
But had the butcher shop.
Godfrey. Sergeant Godfrey.
He was really clean.
Oh, no, not Godfrey, Corporal Jones. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. And he was explaining to him that the Archie was to them. He's got two lines of them. We stood, 17 of us stood behind them. We'd got enrolled, you see.
Yes.
And so we weren't in it really that morning. And The Germs are supposed to be at Bat's Farm. That's an old broken down place as you go to Carton from Ransom Street.
Yes.
And the Germs are supposed to took that, and these here got to go and attack them and,
yes,
and you know, either beat them sort of thing. And I think about 12:30 over and before then, Archie explained to Joe what he'd got to do. And Joe, we ain't got rifles, we ain't got walking sticks, no matter what. He put his, as a wooden floor, and he put it on the ground. He said, jumped to a tent and said, "Yes, Dad, Major." And they went on this Joe and Jay. Oh, and Archie got, you know where to go. You know, which, well, he said, "Yeah, you only go up Mill Street." He said, "Go what way to it?" And they don't see you coming. And when they come back, he formed them in a line, and Archie went and tell him and asked him to report what had happened. And I don't mean he had to say how much ammunition they'd used and what happened, and if it anybody injured and all that or what. Well, we stood there, we wanted to roar laughing. But of course, that did get different. We went in, I went to Shingle Street once.
Yes.
I don't know whether you remember, but they did think there was something happened there.
On the coast?
Yeah.
Yes.
We went there, it was harvest time, and I had a letter from somebody, pretty important, to say that they got a report this particular night at Mendelssohn Village, and it was harvest time. I had to leave off, and we went there, and Vic and me went to Mendelssohn Green.
Yes.
And there was a Billy Munchage, do you remember him?
No.
Used to live across them fields.
Okay.
He got quite a bit, but one field.
Ah.
Anyhow, he was a lieutenant in charge, and an army lorry came from Hawley and to take us, and when we got there to get in, we found we got one, he'd picked one man to many. So I said, "Well, toss for it," and of course I won.
Uh-huh.
John, remember Cancer Baker?
No.
They had a baker shop in the back street at Mendelssohn. Yes. Mendelssohn. And don't you remember? There's a big old stone in there.
Yes, I remember.
Huge old stone.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Well, anyway, I'm getting away from the point. John came on, and he said, "Could he say, I wish that was me, and got to go." I said, "I'll go in your place, you like, John. I've been to one, you know." And he said, "Well, we need them finished baking a lot of fresh cakes." He said, "I was going to get you a lot of cakes together." And good. He went and got these cakes.
Yes.
And we went on patrol at Shingle Street. We had to be in the Coast Guard's house. And there were some cottages there. They were all empty. And apparently the army used to do it during the day and the home guard at night.
Oh, okay,
and
yes.
The beach, we went on duty at 12 o'clock till 2. That's 2 days, me and Vic. And we were the first ones. And there was barbed wire and that everywhere. Because they did think that there was something happened there once.
Yes,
you
yes.
know. And so that's what happened. And in the finish, we come home, and I think I was home about half an hour. I went to work harvesting. Now, God built who I worked for. He was right disagreeable, but it couldn't be at work.
Yes,
and
of course.
More important
yes.
him than the war. Mm-hmm.
Did you used to go to the Suffolk Show at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we went to the Suffolk Show, and it's a story about that.
Yes, I wondered if there was.
We used to, they want the cars not then. I don't reckon I was about 14. And I mean, they wanted, during the war, they wanted two cars, Mendelssohn Green.
Yes.
Striblin had one. Do you remember Striblin used to farm near the hat?
Yes, I know.
Arthur Striblin and
yep.
Mickey. And he had a little car, and they'd got the boat that you two sat in the back, and they want no cover over them. I just sat in the back in the open.
Yes.
And I think George around there near Alan Toys, do you remember?
No, I don't.
As you go, what we call round the globe.
Oh, I know, yes.
You used to call that round the globe, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes.
Well, George is the one who had the lorries later yes. on. Mm. And that was about the only two who got cars. Mm. And I don't know how we ever come to talk about
cars. So with the Suffolk Show, there was finding something.
We went to Suffolk Show on the bus, which nearly everybody did. They want all that amount of cars. And you didn't go on the ground out to Robert Goach's at Bagels. And, that was a big day out, really, then. I went with my father, and you didn't go on, the buses didn't go on the ground. You got out and you got in the entrance, in the road. And they tried to kill people. And I said, pound never lie on the ground. And I said, Father, put your foot on that. And I picked it up, because I'm sorry, if I asked anybody if I'd lost, I'd be several that went lost a pound or fact.
Yes.
Anyhow, later on when we at Pipey's Day nearly, I think, then, and later on when we were going to come home, most of the buses had gone, and Toy's buses, you know, and they had a walking stick hung in his palings, and a lovely stick, a light coloured wood, unusual, I reckon that's what they call plain wood.
Yes.
And I got and looked at, and nobody about. So I said to the bus driver when he came, I said, I found this walking stick. He said, well, give it to me. He said, I'll have it in the front. He said, before we go, I'll ask everybody on the bus if I lost a stick. He said, because I was hard up times then. He said, I'll be one to a lost one, I expect. And he said, so, I think somebody put their hand up. He said, can you explain it? He said, well, I ain't the stick you lost. And because the time went on, I took it home. I forgot about it. It went for years. And that's when your dad used to... He was retired then.
Yes.
And one Saturday morning, he came walking up Jack's Lane when we lived at Combs, you know.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he got this stick.
Yeah.
And... thought, but that's my stick. So I said, let's have a look at that. And I looked at the bottom, and it had a brass bit on the bottom. I knew that it said British make on the bottom.
Oh, yes.
I say, you've got my stick. He said, how do you make that out? I say, I never told him what I told you. Mm-hmm. And of course, I ought to have it in it, but I give it to him back. And of course, I never have seen it since.
We never did find that stick.
I reckon that's at Carton. That's what I
think. It might be, yes.
But I know you give me a stick, didn't you?
I did, but that wasn't the one, was it?
That wasn't the one, no. But I thought I'd like it for keepsake, really.
Yes, but we'll still keep looking.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's going to come up anywhere.
Yeah.
What I want to ask you, Eddie, is the original study looking at dialects, it was in the 1950s, and in Mendlesham they interviewed a number of people. And I just wonder whether you knew them. So one was Charles Brundish from Tan Office.
Oh, yeah, I knew him well, Charlie Brundish.
Yes.
He had a little farm. Mm. And I'll tell you what, he was ever so old-fashioned. And I'm trying to think who lived with him. They ain't many houses up there, you see.
No.
They were really old-fashioned. And they used to go to bed wintertime up as far as you. And summertime... I'd be a bed by 8 or a little after.
Yes.
And Russell Brundish, Hooky we call him, he married Margaret Brundish, didn't he?
Okay.
You remember Margaret Brundish working in the shop?
No, I don't.
Their parents lived in the council houses.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, and anyhow, Hooky and Margaret got married. Of course, they weren't electric up here, you see.
No.
I mean, that's out of the way, wasn't it?
It was, yes. So another person was interviewed originally was Joe Hunt from Mendlesham Green.
Joe Hunt?
Yes.
You mean young Joe or old Joe?
Oh, in old Joe.
Well, old Joe had a little farm, and nobody worked for him, and out of young Joe as well, weren't they?
Joe Hunt was friendly with my parents.
He was... He was best man for Peter.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, he was, I remember it. and he worked in cuttings. Cuttings had a lot of shops at Manson Village, didn't he? They used to sell, well, they even had a bank there.
Yes.
And nearly all Front Street belonged to cuttings. And they sold all sorts of things, for chicken wire and everything, wood, anything. And he worked there, but I'm sure he died quite young, I think.
This was old Joe Hunt or young Joe Hunt?
That's a young Joe.
Yes, I think so, yes.
I shouldn't think his father lived fairly old.
Yes.
And Hunt had done the post office.
Yes.
Which was next door to where Joe lived, wasn't it?
That's right.
A double dweller.
Yes, and it was opposite where your dad kept his livestock, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, of course, there's no end allotments at Manson Green, ain't there?
Yes, that's right.
They built a lot of them there, but everybody had allotment.
Yes.
Some had two or three.
Yes, there's a lot of building.
My father worked for his father and mother when they packed up. Striblin bought that farm, you know?
Yes.
And he married my father's sister, Margaret.
Yes.
Other brother, what kept the shop. Do you remember him?
Yes.
And they ran his business for a time, and then that was put up for sale, and God bowled it to Gippin, who I worked for, bought it.
Yes.
And eventually God bowled, who I worked for, went and lived up there. That was always called Cake Farm, but he didn't like the name. They called it High House Farm.
Ah, okay, yes.
And then next door was my father's oldest brother, Eddie. I was named after him.
Yes.
And he farmed that and employed one man, I think. And I think of the farm about 70 acres, something like that, 70, 80 acres. But they looked marvellous to me, Robin. Have they got living when things was so cheap? Because
yes,
they all employed
course.
Somebody.
Yes.
Because you see, everything was done by hand, wasn't it?
It was. The other person who was interviewed was William Salisbury.
Yeah, Shaver.
Sorry?
Shaver, they called him.
Oh, was that his nickname?
He's Shaver, the real liberal.
Ah, right,
and
yes.
Election time, he'd crazy.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, he's Edgar Granville used to be parliamentary man, MP member for Hartismere.
Okay.
And Mansham come in in that, you see.
Yes.
And he'd be about then. He'd traded, and he worked at Penistons. At Star Earl, do you remember them?
Where were they?
Penistons is, as you go from Manson Green, we'll fight the Stone Market.
Yes.
And you're going to have a Stoneham Road, past Green Man.
Yes.
Pub, up and then you turn right at a farm right under the corner.
I know,
yes. There used to be a little old car just before you get to it.
Yes, yes.
And
so that's
the next farm is Penison's.
Ah,
there's sort of an S bend around there.
So it's Forward Green, is that right?
Pardon?
Or Forward or Middlewood Green, yes.
Yeah. And I know most people from Manson Green, they worked at Purgy Nobles, you know.
Yes.
You know, that's a place I don't think I ever went to, but that's right. If you go up Stoneham Lane Road, ain't you? And Duncan Lane was down the left one.
Yes.
You went to Tan Office.
Yes.
And of course, Tan Office, they had a burial ground there for the Tate, what they call them, religious people. There's a burial ground up there.
Quakers, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, Charlie Brandy's lived, he had one of them little old farms.
Yes.
And him and old, I mentioned him, what was his name, meant to go?
William Salisbury.
And that him that worked with Charlie Brandy's.
Oh, I'm not sure.
He used to go to bed early, you know.
Oh, yes, you mentioned him, yes.
And he used to come to Mansham every Saturday morning. And George Toy's my uncle's shop.
Yes.
And get his groceries. And
Yes.
I don't think you ever knew him.
No.
But lived with him. And then he'd go from there to the mat to the Green Man. And he'd stop at late, closed about 2:30. Then he'd walk from there to Tanovers, which is a tidy way down there, isn't it?
It's a reasonable
walk. I don't know if you remember. Two down there.
Right.
You remember that?
No, not really.
They had a bit of ground down there, belonged to them.
Yes.
And their names was, their surnames were.
Yes.
And they'd nearly always be there Christmas time. Yeah? And he'd come round with a scissor grinder, and she'd come round selling the pegs and different things. And he used to go round all them old hedges cutting nutrish sticks to make pegs. And then if he saw a cocoa tin anything anywhere, he'd get that and cut the thin bits off the top, and what he made his pegs with, and then he'd sell them, you see.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes.
But different times they had family come here. And one of my name was, his boy's name was Israel, and when they was there, they used to come to our school.
Yes. One of the things I want to ask you about, Eddie, is the churches, because you were church warden, I think, weren't you, at Gipping, was it?
I was church warden 41 years at Gipping.
Mm.
Yeah, St Nicholas Church.
It's a lovely church, isn't it?
That is, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Now, I cut that hedge. It's 500 yards around. There's nobody buried there. But there's two lots of cremations and things put there, which that ain't been done. You see, they don't want to bury anybody there. That'd make a lot of work, don't it? Graves and
yes,
that.
Yes.
But I used to cut that hedge twice every year. And, you know, we used to have committee meetings sometimes, and somebody wanted their ashes to be put there as a woman, and we agreed and didn't think much about it. But time went on, and one Sunday, Betty and I and my wife, we went there as usual, it's a spade stand over there, and devil, and when we get in church, Ed Buck say, they come today with it, you remember, he said, and my lady's ashes, he said, she want them put her, yeah? And I've been and dug a hole to put the urn in. Well, Robin's our parson. When he come, he went and had a look, and he come out to me, he say, and there's only one come for these here, for the service, and because after the service, a lot of people come in.
Yes.
And Robinson had a look, he come back, he said, can you quickly go make that hole bigger and deeper? He said, I don't hardly cover the thing.
Yes, yes.
And he said, I'm glad I got church warden and agricultural work.
Yes, exactly, yes. So it's 40 years you did that.
41 years, I
did. Yes. Did you have to look after Old Newton as well, or was it just Gipping? Was it just Gipping Church?
Yes, Gipping, yeah.
Yes.
But they was... when I, at first, that used to be Gippin and Stow Opland and Old Newton.
Yes.
Well, then they altered it, you see, as they got put more together. And they put, there was six went with Gippin, or five, there was at Gippin and Old Newton and Backton and Wyverston and Wickhamscreath and Carton.
Yes.
For the same vicar. And of course, he couldn't do what he used to have lay readers, you see. And they were wonderfully lucky at Old Newton. Barbie there, and she didn't let no end of the services here when they hadn't got anybody. And she was made canon in the things, but she was in charge of all that area of churches. And of course, the time came. I had what they call his Maundy money.
Yes.
And I had it, you see. Well, what happened was one Thursday morning, Betty was going in, and my wife, and the postman came, and just I'd come out the front door, and he'd got two or three letters, and he gave them to me, and I started going indoors with them. I thought, so I'll look at them when they come home for dinner. And one time I got dipped into an envelope.
Oh.
So I was curious.
Yes.
I went back and had a look, and I said, there's a letter there from the Queen's Secretary.
Yes.
And I never heard nothing about Maundy money. So I went to Stowe, and I was going across there near Asda, and somebody come along, I say, We had a letter. He said, we're going to have Monday. I'm going to have Monday, man. I said, And there was somebody chosen at all the churches in East Africa, you see.
And
how that started, we'd never heard on before. That anyhow, Andrew come with me, didn't he? Didn't he? And we went, and we had to go to what they call Anta. There's a building there near the, what do they call that place?
Is it the Athenaeum?
Yeah.
Opposite the cathedral. Yes.
After I'd had the letter a week or two, Andrew and I, and take a person with you, and they told us all about it, didn't they, Andrew? And what we got doing that, and then we went to the cathedral, you see, and of course the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh, they came there.
Yes.
And she got some of her soldiers, they call them, well, your bodyguard thing, out at the Tower of London.
Beefeaters.
They got sort of red tunics.
Yes.
They had about seven with her, I think. And she'd done a bit of reading, and I played to him a two. And then he came, and that's all done in alphabetical order. Could I some Bawley from Old Newton, he was nearly the first, because I was nearly the last.
Yes.
David, dear man.
Yes.
He was a church warden as well at Bedfield. So he's near me. And then there was somebody, Alan's daughter, she's from Mantlesham. And the Queen came round with two of her bodyguard sort of thing with her.
Yes.
And handed these coins and a bit of paper all about it. And you had to just call her ma'am.
Yes.
Not ma'am, ma'am. And the bloke next to me, before she got to me, he whispered to me, he said, I'm going to tell her. He said that I work down here, I show people around here nearly every day, voluntary. So when she left me, she went to him, and she never paid my regards. She just handed, because she got gloves on, you see.
Yes.
Handed him what he got, and she never answered him.
No.
And then we had a good meal, didn't we, Andrew? And Aunt Rhythm, you call it?
Yes.
Yeah. But since then, I've learnt more about, when I say about that there have been programs on the television about Henry VIII was king at the time.
Yes.
And he had six warriors.
Yes.
You didn't see nothing on telly about
it. I have done, yes.
That's interesting, weren't it?
Yes, absolutely. Is that where the Maundy money comes from?
It is. Well, you see, he hated Roman Catholics because, you see, he had six warriors. And I think about four of them he had the heads cut off.
Yes.
And I think he had, it said he had the kids, that them heads put in the Tower of London for people to see them. I've thought about that since. I can't make it. Have you cut anybody's head off? Can you bless us with a hatchet? Can you?
I think you need quite a lot of force to do it. No doubt about that. That's why they used to use the guillotine.
And see, he didn't like Catholics, and he'd done away with their buildings and all sorts, didn't he? And of course, that time of day, the king, he was boss, weren't he?
Yes.
He had people, but what he said, they had to do. And, but later on, there was a program on there, he did have a son. When that changed, and I think there was a queen had it later on, and I forget her name. Anyhow, she altered, so they had his, what they call his Maundy money.
Yes.
And they did tell us that. The Queen, however old she was, she'd never do it no more than that at Barry.
Yes.
Yeah, so, that was very interesting.
So that was a great honour, really, wasn't it?
To receive that. Yeah, that was a big thing,
that.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to ask
when
you...
When we went, I think Andrew can remember it, we sort of searched for the thing.
Yes.
And a woman said, I've got something on you. That'll be braces.
Oh. So you had a nice meal there.
Oh yeah.
What things do you like to eat? What's your favourite foods?
I like savoury things. Mm. Well, so we do second course.
Yes,
we do. Yeah, mm. Yeah. We have here. We have fairly good food. We
yes,
he's a good cook and all different things. And occasionally we have turkey and we have beef, but quite sometimes the beef is a bit tough. But anyhow, you know, we, as I say, we go there and there's five, as a few women come. Of course, there's a lot of them still in the beds, I expect. You see, bedridden,
yes,
aren't there?
Yes.
But there's about 15 or 16 of us come at the what they call a restaurant for dinner every day.
Good.
Yeah, and we, about 12:30, we have it, something like that. And the nurses on a Sunday, they don't have about one help them on a Sunday. They do the food on a Sunday. And but during the week, some of the nurses help. And then it's what they call some red coats. They in charge of different things, you know. And
yes,
they come and, one of them come and help. And some carers come, but they come and they leave off at 1:00. Well, at 2:00, the nurses and them what have been serving us, they have what's left over.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, they give him a meal because they're the ones that are on 12 hours, you see.
Yes, it's a long time, isn't it?
Long while, isn't it, yeah.
I just want to ask you as well, Eddie, you know, we all speak with our different dialects and accents. What does the Suffolk way of speaking mean to you?
The Suffolk way?
The Suffolk way of speaking, you know, the Suffolk accent.
Well, I've always been used to it, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
Some people tell me I'm really Suffolk. I say, well, you can't change now, you can't.
No, exactly, yes. Do you think it's... I mean, I obviously think it's a nice accent, and do you
that's right,
the way of speaking like that?
Yeah, well, I like to face the facts, Robin. Yeah. I mean, if you don't, you've got to face sometime or other, ain't you? Mm-hmm. You might as well face the facts first as last, might you?
Yes. Do you think the dialect has changed over the years?
Well, because there's more people, especially just as last 2 or 3 years, have come to live it in the country, ain't there?
Yes, exactly.
I think a lot of people have come, you see, from London and that, and they go on a train to work, and they got these here slow cookers now. They go home, you see, they set it up to come out, finish at a certain time, and they come home and have their meal, you know, hot meal and that. But I used to, when I was at Page's Close, I used to walk down the up our road and down the recreation ground every morning. And I used to go and I got another cart, and that's a bigger one, I got a seat on.
Yes.
I used to sit near the traffic lights there about 10 minutes, quarter an hour. And of course, that'd be a lot of people go past, they'd blow the hooters. And I always used to meet people as I went back. I'd go back about 11 or something like that, walk up out there, and some of them, I used to come into Stowe every morning, as town is, and a couple of them, they got right into each other. They said to me, "We hear you're a good gardener." I said, "Well, I don't know about that." I said, "I've always done gardening." They said, "Well, we want to, but we don't know what to do." I said, "Well, there's much rubbish, aren't you?" Well, they said, "Yes, that's a funny look at." I said, "Well, you want to get rid of that for a start?" Well, when I went to live where I was,
yes,
and a bloke told me that his mother used to live there. Mm. He said, "And there ain't been nothing done in that garden for 12 years. Mm. And there's the hedge, there's bits in your hedge, a sycamore tree as big as your leg. And I took them all down, and the yard was full of stuff, rubbish."
Yes, I'm sure. You had a lovely garden there.
But that was lovely, lovely garden, lovely soil. Mm. But of course, I'd gotten a pinch of oil, going to do it. And I got 3 bags of sweet potatoes from the areas. They're about half stone, I call it. Mm. They don't go with stones and nothing, do they?
No.
Pounds and ounces. Well, that's all you do.
Yes. What I'm going to do now, Eddie, is just to Well, I've got a sort of a questionnaire that we have to go through.
Yes.
So there's a few things. One of them is pictures, which I know you can't see very well, but what I'm going to do is just describe some things to you, just to see what type of words you would use. Now, the first one is a little animal with spikes on.
With what?
Spikes on, with a spiky coat, a little animal that you find in the undergrowth.
Mammals?
A little animal, so with a spiky coat, with sharp spikes on.
I don't know. Like, in the ground, you say?
On the top of the ground, it runs around.
They curl up when they get frightened.
Well, moles come up, isn't it?
Moles come out, yeah, but the ones with sharp spikes on.
Hey?
The ones with sharp spikes on their backs.
They ain't weasels or ferrets.
No, hedgehog, hedgehog? Yeah, thinking of.
Yeah,
yes.
Hedgehog, they had prickles on them.
Yes, exactly. Well, obviously,
they know, them, of course, they're protected.
They are.
People look after them now. Yeah. But I know my father had, because he used to have a chicken, of course, them meters, didn't he?
Yes, that's right.
And
yes.
You know what? He got a hen with some young little chickens in, and they kept being about two each, no goo, and he set a trap in the gateway and caught a hedgehog. Could have worked that hedgehog then to go with them chickens. Yeah.
What about, there's an insect with very long, thin legs that you get in the summer.
Dead long legs.
Yes, that's right.
Well, they don't live about a day, I don't think. And they lay, have you seen, if you've got lawn, a lot of starlings come.
Yes.
They'll come and they won't be there but a couple of minutes, and off all go. But they lay and they're starting to turn into a grub. I forget what that's called, but it's ever so tough. And that's what they come and get.
Yes.
At the grass. And if you have them in your garden, if you've got, say, a row of cabbages, little young cabbages, they'll go one to another and eat them all.
Yes.
If you just scratch, you don't want to just touch it, the top of the soil, and you'll find one there.
Yes.
And that's right tough of things, about half an inch long.
They called them leather jackets, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes. The next one is the water that you get on the grass in the morning.
Dew? Dag?
Ah, what was the name you call it?
Dag.
Dag, is it?
The heavy dag is my one.
Okay, I've never come across that before.
Dag, the grass gets right as wet, and that's usually a sign of it's going to be a good day.
Ah, okay, yes. Nice, yes. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've seen the grass sodden and wet in the mornings.
It is this time of the year. There's a lot of it.
I think I'd have freshened some things up when it had been right dry weather.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, that's right. It does
and
now.
Just with this weather business, Robin, I think that's going to be the thing to come.
I think so. We need water.
And I think perhaps that might get worse.
I think it will do.
And in regards to gardening, you must go in for pots because you have a lot of water to do.
Exactly. That's right.
You want to grow things, you know what, if you've got shade, them sort of things.
Best to put them in the ground.
Yeah.
The next one is a bag of things that children might eat. That children might eat, a bag of things.
Sweets.
That's it, yes.
Licorice, all sorts.
Yes, exactly, yes.
Do you know what, there used to be a shop, talking about that, at Mansion Street, that an old chap and his sister, Arthur Lester and his wife, that's right, they had a little old shop, and I think it belonged to Cutting, really, but they had a little old shop, they sold sweets in it. And sometimes at school, if you'd have a halfpenny or a penny, and you used to have a look in the halfpenny box, and I think they had two mice, chocolate mice you got for that.
Yes.
And he used to work in an old shed opposite side, on the right-hand side going down, mending shoes. And he had caged birds in there, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
The next one is a cake that you might eat with cream and jam.
How many cakes?
A cake, and you might have it with cream and jam.
I tell you what, I have jam on my, it's private jam on my porridge morning.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, well, jam tarts, ain't they?
Yeah. This is, they like them in Devon and Cornwall.
I say, I don't know what they're called. But I like sausage rolls.
Yes, I do as well, yes, exactly.
I used to help Uncle George what had the shop. He knew David, though, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
Well, he got the Maundy money, because he was church warden in Bedfield. And anyhow, I used to help my Uncle George. He had a grocer and pork butcher shop, and he used to kill two pigs every Monday. And then now, he'd go look at them pigs, where they'd come from, and pick them out on a Friday. And he said, I want my men down to mine on Saturday afternoon. And they'd have had no more food. He had a store there, had no more food. And then they killed them Monday morning.
Yes.
And they had that time of day, they had a sort of pig thing here. Work people used to join it. And if you lost one, you get paid for it, you see. But you had to join and pay money to it. And one arm used to buy some old rough pigs. And of course, he always had some dog, he used to do quite well.
Yes, of course.
But
yes.
Uncle George used to mostly have them. But so people, you know.
Yes, yes.
What'd been kept. They'd lived on a lot of scraps and so on.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
The pork was beautiful.
Yes, I think he was a good butcher.
He used to kill them on that. They'd be kill them down the bottom of the yard. And there's houses built where they went down. And you know, all of those staff, they used to have to scrape all that off of the pigs. It all went down the ditch. Never, because it wouldn't be allowed, never would it.
No,
there's houses built there now.
There are, yes. Yeah. Yes. Another one is if you were giving a child a ride on your back, what would that be called?
On your back?
Yes.
Piggyback.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. And there's just one more picture. It's a children's game where children sit on either end of a plank and go up and down.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yes, they've got one right now.
Exactly, they have.
I can't think what it's called. No.
Normally seesaw, isn't it?
Seesaw, of course. Yeah. We used to play marbles.
Yes.
You used to have marbles and hit near the post, and then you used to span. If you could reach your opponent, you had his, be span, you look at, you had his marble.
Ah, okay. And there's just a few other questions now. So, what do you call a room in a house for storing food?
Pantry.
Yes. If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
hungry.
Yep. And what words do you use for something to eat? Any particular...
for something good.
For something to eat.
Someday... I don't know. I know what... Well, I was calling that for something to eat.
What was that then? You can say...
Well, nice, I suppose you say.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And if you have a cup of coffee and it's got a lot of milk in it, do you have a word for that at all?
I never drink coffee.
Ah, well, that's a good answer.
Yeah, and I don't drink too much tea, tell you the truth.
Yes.
What we have here, a lot of, is apple juice.
Oh, okay, that's
very beautiful.
Good. Yes.
I don't know whether that's down at Starnham Aspel. There's a place there.
Yeah, Aspel, yeah.
They do apples and,
big
and
business.
That sort of thing.
And what's the dairy product you'd spread on toast and sandwiches?
What
would you spread on toast or...
butter.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah. Well, during the war you didn't have butter.
No.
Well, don't now, I don't suppose.
No. Well,
I don't
expensive.
Think that's good for you, do you?
No.
Well, I remember my grandfather's, they had a dairy there, and they always made butter every week. And I remember they used to put the milk in a separator, they called it, and you turned the handle, and when the bell rang, you turned it on. And that separated the, I suppose that moved it about, and that took all the cream.
Yes.
And then on a Wednesday they'd make butter, and they had a big old churn. I used to put water in, and you'd turn that, and you'd put this stuff in, and gradually it'd get thicker and thicker. And then it got to a lump when you went round, you know. And she used to make butter, and I think some of the things that went in had got a toy name on it or something like that.
Yes.
You know, in print, you know. And now, if it was right hot weather, it took a lot longer. It didn't seem to set so quick. And they used to go and get the water then, if it was hot, down Mill Terrace,
yes.
Mansion Green. Mm. You know what Mill Terrace is?
Yes, yes.
There's a well down there.
Ah.
And the people lived in it, that's where they got their drinking water from there. And once a year, somebody would go down one, because sometimes the pails would come off a hook, you see, you know, lose a pail. But once a year, people would go down there and retrieve them. Yeah. I don't know how deep the well was, I'm sure.
Yes. So the next one is, how would you describe if there was a game, like a sports game, and there was a break in it? A break in doing a game, so a sports game, how would you describe a break?
Sports, eh?
Yeah, so if you're having a temporary break in a game of sports...
If you're having a break...
Yes.
Well, he'd break half time.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I think half time is good, isn't it?
Well, they'd have a break if anybody got injured, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So, if you fell over and hurt your knee, how might you hurt it?
Your knee?
Yeah, if you fell over in a playground, say, and hurt your knee.
Well, you'd graze it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if it was covered in dirt, when you got home, you might want to get in the. To clean it. If you were dirty,
yeah.
How would you clean it at home? What would you do?
Well, we used to have a tin bath, but I don't know what happened before then.
Yes, well,
nobody got bathrooms, were there?
No.
No flush lavatories.
And when children get excited, you might say they're full of. If a child was getting excited, they would be full of. If children were getting happy and excited and had a lot of energy.
They'd have something wrong with me, I mean.
No. If they were happy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And at the end of a long and tiring day, how would you describe your feeling?
Knocked up,
yes. I never heard that one before.
But when you're young, you say you sound get fresh again.
Yes.
Again, rather. Yeah.
And what word would you use to describe not going to school?
Not going to what?
School.
School?
Yes.
If you absent.
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 Yes.
Yeah. Yep. We used to go, you used to be half afraid to start while in school.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes if children are being very naughty, their parents might tell them that someone will come and take them away. So have you ever heard that at all? If a child was being naughty, somebody might
come... Well, I used to go to reformatory school at Thorndon.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's where boys used to go there. And they went there, I remember, you know, when I was young. Boys, if I done something bad, that's where they'd put. Mm. And I know somebody who lived at Thorndon. He said the best ones used to go to church every Sunday.
Yes, yes.
At Thorndon.
Yeah. And if you you grow crops and raise animals, what do you do that on?
If you grew crops, they were valuable.
And no, if you had animals.
Animals?
Yes. It was where you worked for most of your life.
What do you feed them on?
No. Where you would grow crops.
What stuff do you grow?
Where would you do it? It sounds an obvious question, doesn't it?
They used to grow, you see, what they call stubble for horses.
Okay. But where did you work during your working life?
I worked at Yippin 23 years.
Yes.
And I worked at Combs, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
When I first married, we married in 1945, November the 24th.
Yep.
And where I worked at Gippin, he hadn't got a house, and I got a job at Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there, and it used to be Jardines. They had three or four farms there. Yeah.
If you took a walk in the countryside and it was raining heavily, what would your shoes get covered in?
Muck.
Yep. And if you were driving and it was very icy or wet, you had to take care, because how would you describe how the roads might be if it was icy and wet?
Wet or icy?
Or both of them, really. If you were driving, how would you describe the road?
Dangerous, I suppose you'd say.
Yes, yes. And if you were meeting somebody that you really liked, how would you, what would you use it as a term of endearment? How would you?
What would you say to her?
Yeah, what would you say to them if you really liked them?
Well, I said, I suppose you'd say, "Have you getting on now?"
Yes, that's right. Yes, and how would you describe somebody who was very attractive?
Beautiful.
Yep. And what was your word for spreading rumours?
What's my what?
Spreading rumours.
Spreading rumours?
Yes. How would you describe that?
Well, what I was going to say was, there's an old saying in Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it
says. Right. Well, that's a good one. Yes, exactly, yeah.
But you don't hear that very often.
No, well, I've never heard. Have you heard that,
Andrew? No, never heard that.
Yes, that's good. And if there was a picture on the wall,
yeah,
and it wasn't hanging straight, how would you describe it?
Well, you want to fall over here, does it?
Yeah, or a picture on the wall, it wasn't straight.
If that fell down, when?
No, if it was just not straight on the wall.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's on the skew.
On the skew, yeah. And what about a small bit of wood that might get trapped in your finger?
To make it right?
A small bit of wood that might get caught in your finger.
A small bit of wood that might...
Might get caught in your finger.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a sliver in it.
Yes. And what would you call a person who mends boots and shoes?
Mends shoes?
Yeah.
Shimmicker.
A shimmicker?
Yeah. Okay. There used to be one man from Green. Mm-hmm. Do you remember him?
No.
A man from Green at Hugh Brundish.
Ah.
He had an old hat. Did you know where... You know where the spaceway is?
Yes.
Opposite there's a thatch house, ain't there? And there's no hat there. And he used to do that in there. And I tell you what, once, I reckon I was about 13... I helped at my grandmother's and grandfather's farm at Wool Harvester, yeah? And when father had to go and milk, he faced cart, and you see, they ain't got enough people to do much, so I used to milk the cows. One, I didn't, because that was hard milk, he used to do that. Yeah, and what was your question?
So it was about a person who mends shoes. I'd never come across that word before.
Oh, I was going to tell you.
What was it again? How did you describe it?
The
person who mends boots and shoes.
I'll tell you. I was going to tell you something.
Okay.
I never had no money for this head of work in the harvest, are you? But he made a pair of shoes for Alfred Pike. Do you remember him?
No.
He used to work at Penson's on the land, and they used to have what they call anniversary Sunday at the chapel on a Sunday in July. Mm. And they used to be a choir there, and he'd have a stick and conduct a choir at anniversary. That old chapel used to be full of people that
yes,
day.
Yes.
And Hugh Brundish, Cromo, we used to call him, he made a pair of shoes for him, and made them, you know, done everything, and hobnails in them, and when he got went to put them on, I was too tight. So my grandmother bought them off him for me for 10 shillings. That's what I had for working all out.
Yes, that's good. Are there any other words that you'd like to tell us about that you think we might not have heard before?
Well, I don't know.
Andrew, have you got any ideas?
Some people, if they get stuck for words, they say thingamajig and what's a name.
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes, they do, yeah.
A lot of people do.
Is there anything you'd like to ask Dad, Andrew?
let me think.
Because we're nearly finished, so yeah, we'll tie things up fairly soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of words you use, which are particularly just Suffolk, isn't there?
Yeah.
You might not be aware of them. And I've heard a few today that I've never heard before.
Yes.
But that dag one for do.
Yeah.
That. I've heard that.
Yes. Well, they used to drain, you know, the land years ago with bits out of the hedge.
Yes.
Instead of pipes.
Yes, yes.
They'd
of
cut
course.
Bits down about as big as your wrist. Mm. And they'd lay them, dig the trench and lay them in the bottom. And they just put a couple of pipes on the end where it went to the ditch. Mm. And at Myrtle Farm, as a field there, what they call the big field, that's 119 acres, I think. Mm. And at the bottom, it's a river go through there, and there's a little bit of ground, about a quarter an acre. And we cut that down when I was there. And the chap worked there, and he said, somebody, there's all clumps of these bushes, you know, every so many yards. And he said, I bet nobody know what they was for. And he said, what they was for, they'd let them get that size, and they'd cut them down to do draining.
Yes,
and they'd
yes.
dig these drains and lay them in the bottom. Mm. And if you think about it, if you get a post in the ground, that don't rot in the ground, that rot level with the ground.
Yes.
That's yes, funny, isn't
course.
It?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Well, that's where it gets dry and wet, you see.
Exactly, where it changes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to... end the interview now, Eddie.
Well, it's nice to speak to you.
Well,